You know, as when God called us out as, I'm not going to be in the book of James today. So, you know, those of you who are going like, oh, I got my notes. You hang on to them. We'll get back to James next week. When God called us to start Three Point Bible Church, we began as a small Bible study, basically, about 15 of us on Melvin and Barbara Beach's back porch. And we studied the book of James. What did it mean to put practical steps to our faith as a church? And as we grew as a church, we kind of went through many different seasons. We started out at the Water Authority, and we were there for a couple of weeks before they kicked us out. Then we went to their big Water Authority place down by a lake somewhere until we got kicked out. Then we went to Arnold Elementary, and we were there till we got kicked out. Then we went to Mount Zion Elementary. Well, no, between there, we went to Stately Oaks. And you guys remember that Sunday? Sandra was preaching, and she had her belt pack on, and she went to kind of prepare herself, and she came to me. She says, do we have another belt pack? I said, why? She goes, oh, I dropped it in the water. So, and we thought, okay, well, good. And then I remember Lance and Beth, there was no room. I mean, the Stately Oaks, their main room was no bigger than the stage, and we were fitting everybody in there, and we were kind of playing guitars like this, you know, like, hey, you know, you couldn't go this way. You'd hit somebody in the head. It was just kind of a fun time. We took the kids outside and put them out under this pavilion that they had. And I remember there was a storm that came through there, and they were talking about Noah and the flood. And so it was kind of like a great picture lesson. Then we ended up at Mount Zion, and we were at Mount Zion, and we were praying the whole time that we were at Mount Zion, because the school system was getting a little bit more and more difficult to work with. You know, it's like, hey, we don't mind you using our building, but we're going to charge you a lot more, and we don't want you going in, and all. It's just kind of crazy stuff. So we prayed, and we prayed, and we prayed, and we prayed, and said, God, give us a place. And so God gave us, well, first off, we would come by here to get stuff that we needed, lights and stuff, and I was talking to Matt one day, and Matt goes, hey, we want to, you know, maybe thinking about selling the building or whatever and moving to McDonough because we don't need a warehouse space anymore. And I was like, yeah, because we just bought some property down there by Dutchtown High School, and we were going to build there, and got into a fight with the neighbor. You know, we would put up a fence, and she would move the fence down. And then we would act like, well, who did that? You know, the police would come over there, and she would come out, and we would say, we don't know who knocked this down, you know. Do you know who might have knocked this down? She's like, no, you know. And so anyway, this building became available. And, you know, there wasn't a lot of parking here. And there was some land next door that was for sale. So to kind of make the story even longer, we ended up purchasing the land. And we ended up purchasing this building and putting a parking lot on the land over there. And soon to be putting in a walking trail so that we can walk and pray. But so anyway, that's how the church was birthed. And when the church was first birthed, we didn't have a lot of expenses. And so we were just giving out money freely. I mean, we were supporting ministries around the world, in the community, benevolences where people would say like, hey, you know, I need this, I need this. And we would do that. And it's because we didn't have an overhead. You know what I mean? There was no building costs. There was no mortgage. There were no lights in the parking lot that have to be paid each week. There was none of that stuff. And so, you know, we just kind of, we grew and grew and grew and grew. And then, of course, we made the move over here. And so we, you know, we took the money that we had and put it down and did whatever we had, which kind of depleted our money. But then we started to slowly build it back up. Then around 2020, COVID hit. And when COVID hit, we lost about a little more than half of our congregation. And we're slowly kind of growing back. It used to be we would run between 80 and 110 people each week, mostly around the 80 to 85. But, you know, we would have that. People were giving. There was a lot of stuff that was going on. And then as we started trying to get back after COVID, you know, many, many didn't even come back. And we have new faces that have been coming in, and it's good to see the new faces. The problem is, with everything else that's been going on, the price of everything has been going up. We had the guy come and do the insurance inspection. Hey, I'm just coming to check on y'all. Hey, wow, y'all got this, y'all got this. Bam, that'll probably lower your payment. Well, I talked to Donald. It didn't lower our payment. We got a new more payment kind of thing. It's like, well, thank you. I tell you all that because we had an elder meeting the other night, and when Donald presented the budget and everything, we are $20,000 in the hole. That's where we're at. We had $48,000 or $68,000 in our reserve. Now we're down to $48,000, and it's continuing to dwindle. We are not paying, we're not anywhere meeting budget, not meeting budget at all. And so what we're doing is basically paying out of our reserves, out of our savings. We are still committed to tithe 10% of whatever we bring in as an offering every month. We give that out as benevolence. That goes to missionaries. That goes to local things like the pregnancy center. It goes to the food bank that's in Forest Park that feeds the homeless. It goes to, you know, so your money is still going out into the thing. I say all that not to say like, hey, I want to talk about money, because I don't. In fact, I know Jesus talked about money a lot and how money shouldn't rule us. I'm just saying that I want you to earnestly pray in your hearts about, am I giving what God wants me to give? You know, Margie and I have talked about this, and I was going to let Steve talk to you because Steve is not emotional. Steve is very, this is the numbers. This is, guys, I'm telling you, next year if we do this, we're going to be $95,000 in debt, and we need to close the church doors so that, you know, we're on property. We've got a mortgage of about $350,000, about $39,000 left on the parking lot. So if you just want to write a check for that, we'd appreciate it, and we could just go ahead and eliminate those. But we have that going on, still maintaining ministry here, and trying to figure out what our next step is going to be. And I'm not telling you that we're going to close, because my sermon today, I want to talk about the church. I want to talk about not just Three Point, but I want to talk about the church. And this is happening to churches all across the nation. This isn't just Three Point Bible Church. We live in a time where people are not committed. If I feel like, you know, I said one time, our enemy is not the Baptist church. Our enemy is not the Pentecostal church. It's not the Presbyterian church. Our enemy is the golf course. Our enemy is the lake. Our enemy is family. Our enemy is things that keep you away from gathering together as the body of Christ and worshiping. And so I just wanted to throw that out there, because the stakes are big. As you look in our communities and in our nation and in our world today, it is growing darker and darker, and evil is becoming even more rampant. The church is needed more now than it ever has been before. And so I wanted to share this with you. This is from Bill Hybels. He said this about the church. He said, I believe that there's only one power that exists on this sorry planet that can transform the human heart. It's the power of the love of Jesus Christ, the love that conquers sin and wipes out shame and heals wounds and reconciles enemies and patches broken dreams and ultimately changes the world one life at a time. And what grips my heart every day is the knowledge that the radical message of this transforming love has been given to the church. That means in a very real way, the future of the world rests in the hands of local congregations like yours and mine. It's the church or it's lights out. Without church so filled with the power of God that they can't help but spill goodness and peace and love and joy into the world, depravity will win the day, evil will flood the world, but it does not have to be that way. Strong, growing communities of faith can turn the tide of history. They can. Don't bother looking elsewhere. The church is it. And that's what Bill Hybels said about the church. So the church is what transforms. The church is what changes. It changes our cities. It changes our culture. It changes our society. It's been done before. And when the church first began, they completely changed the world. As a matter of fact, the beginning of Acts records over 1,000 conversions within a span of just a few weeks or months. And probably that number is more like 10,000 to 15,000 because they only counted the men that were converted. Open up your Bibles and turn to Acts chapter 2. And I want to start in verse 41 and I'm going to read through 47. And we're all familiar with this passage. It says this, "So those who received his word were baptized, and there were added that day about 3,000 souls. And they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship and the breaking of bread and the prayers. And awe came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles. And all who believed were together and had all things in common. And they were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds to all as any had need. And day by day, attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes, they received their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved." Many things kind of stick out just in that passage. Verse 41, 3,000 converts in one day. Wouldn't that be nice to say, man, sorry guys, we don't have room. We're going to do 7 services, so just wait. We're going to open the doors for you when we have room. Just come on in or sit on somebody's lap. Get to know somebody. In verse 47, it says, "Each day the Lord added to their group those who were being saved." In Acts 4:4, it talked about 5,000 more converts in one day. In Acts 6:1, it says, "Believers rapidly multiplied." In other words, God's math is not just addition and subtraction. It just explodes. When the church is what God intends, growth becomes contagious. And as we look at 3 point, are we the church that's contagious or are we sick? Turn to chapter 4, Acts chapter 4. I'm going to start in verse 31. "And when they prayed," this is the church, "and when they prayed, the place in which they were gathered together was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and continued to speak the word of God with boldness. Now the full number of those who believed were of one heart and soul, and no one said that any of the things that belonged to him was their own, but they had everything in common. And with great power the apostles were giving their testimony to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them." These verses talk about three, from those two passages, I think there are 3, maybe 4 points that I'm going to get in there. I think that it is being said that God is saying that. First, he's talking about the word. The second is prayer. It's important. The third, the big one, is fellowship. And so let's just pray this morning. Father, I pray that the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts were pleasing and acceptable to you, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. The first thing is they were unified. They were on point. They were on the same goal. Our mission statement here at 3 Point Bible Church is to love God, to love others, and to make disciples. And everything we do should be pinpoint on that. As we go forward proclaiming the good news of the gospel, we need to teach people to love God and how much God loves them. But also, we need to be loving each other. As I was reading through the prayer list, I don't even know about half of these people on here. I don't know. My mom gets a phone call. She's got a lot of friends out there that are getting older and older like she is. And so she goes, "Oh, we need to pray for this person." I don't know who they are. That's shame on me. The power of prayer is we need to be praying for the church. We need to be praying for one another. We need to celebrate with one another when it's good. We need to be crying with one another when we're going through a hard time. Like James was talking about yesterday, when we're down in the dip, we need help to see beyond that. And without the church, there is no help. You're relying on your own strength. And when we rely on our own strength, what happens? We grow tired and weary and depressed and stressed out and beat down and beat up. So the first thing that the church was, they had unity. It says, all the believers were one in heart and mind. Well, what were they unified about? Well, the first thing they were unified about was the word. The word. We call our church, 3-point Bible church, because when people come to me and they say, what does your church think about this? You know, when they give me some kind of thing out there, I said, well, I can tell you what I think about it, but it doesn't matter. Let's see what God has to say about that. This should be our overriding thing, not what Paul thinks, not what Sandra thinks, not what Linda thinks, not what anybody thinks, but what does God say about a particular issue? You know, we have been through some very rough times with political issues. We have been through some rough times with gender ideologies. We have, do we allow this? Do we allow that? Or does your church believe this? Does your church believe that? And it's like, well, you know, our church doesn't have a statement about it, but God has a statement about it. Let's see what God has to say about it. Well, you can't go back to the Bible. The Bible's just this old book, you know, written. It's got to be fluid. It's got to change. It's like, no, God's word doesn't change. God doesn't change. Why would his word change? It says this in Acts 2:42, and they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. What were they teaching? They were teaching what they learned from Jesus, and it's written right here. This is what Jesus said, this is what Jesus did, and that's what we are teaching. So the first thing we need to do with his word is study his word. And study means to wrestle with it. There are some hard passages in there. Steve talks and Sandra talks about sometimes about chicken bones. You get to a passage and you go like, I don't even know what the heck that means. That's a chicken bone. Take that chicken bone, set it to the side. It'll come back, but wrestle with it. Wrestle with it. What is God saying in his word? Because every time we open this book, God speaks. Every time. Well, I did sign up for this one Bible study, but man, it got boring. It started in Genesis, which was pretty good, but then after Exodus, we went into Leviticus and Deuteronomy, and man, I just kept falling asleep. So I just put the Bible away. And maybe that's a big chicken bone. Put that away for a minute. Put Leviticus away for a minute and open up your New Testament. Go to John. We study John in depth. Go to Romans. Then go back. Read Hebrews and then find out why all that stuff was in Leviticus, what all that stuff meant. Watch less TV and read more scripture. We live in a time where no one wants to read anymore. And if you can't read or don't want to read, there are so many Audible books out there now. You can have somebody read it to you. John Piper said this, if most people would trade their TV time for Bible reading, they'd finish the entire Bible in 4 weeks or less. That's amazing. You need to study God's word. We need to be devoted to learning on our own. That means reading the Bible daily. Charles Hodge says this, the best evidence of Bibles being the word of God is to be found in its covers. It proves itself. Read the Bible daily. Read good books about the Bible. I made a list of books. Some we have in our library here. Some are out there. Read good people. Bonhoeffer. Read N.T. Wright. Read A.W. Tozer, read J.I. Packer, read books that are very well theologically written that talk about God's word. When you're struggling with something, read Lee Strobel's The Case for Christ to find out. Here's this guy that was atheist, and he set out to prove that this whole thing is just a joke. This whole thing's not true, it's a myth. And the more he studied and the more he dove into it, the more he came to believe this is the truth. So read the Bible, read good books about the Bible daily. Listen to streams or your radio in the car or a television program of good Bible-based preachers and teachers. Sandra called me the other day and she goes, what are you doing? I said, I just got finished working out. She goes, you listening to Billy Graham today? On Sirius XM, they have a Billy Graham channel. You can listen to Billy Graham's preaching. I mean, there's good messages out there. There's a lot of bad messages. You need to be able to filter that out, but you don't know unless you get into his word and study the word. So the first thing is we need to study God's Word. Be devoted to learning together, right? We should make church a priority. Hebrews 10:25 says this, "And let us not neglect our meeting together as some people do, but encourage and warn each other, especially now that the day of His coming back again is drawing near." Make church a priority. It's amazing some of the things I can't be there this week because I got family coming in on Wednesday, and it's going to take me from Sunday all the way to Wednesday to prepare for this family coming in. It's like, really? Okay. God, what is God demanding of you? An hour of your time? Please, I don't want you to think that I'm yelling at you. I'm yelling at me. I'm talking about the church at large. This is what's happening in our society today. Make church services a priority. Two, make extending a Bible or attending a Bible study, make it a habit. We offer a Bible study on Sunday mornings. We offer a kind of a Bible study devotion time on Wednesday nights. We'll do it on Tuesday mornings. We'll do it whenever you say, like, you know what? I want to be part of a Bible study. Is there one going on? We'll start one. If that's what it takes. Their community, as we looked at that church, their community had something that drew people in, and the people realized that there was something that could change their lives. Do you see what it says? They gathered together daily in the temple courts. In other words, they went to church every single day. And then they would gather in the homes and talk even more about Jesus and share food and fellowship with one another. Tim Keller says this, "Sometimes we confuse our agenda that we have for God with God Himself. The best way to not speak for Him and let Him speak to you is the Scriptures." So what about us? So we need to study God's Word, and they were devoted to that. The next thing they were devoted to was prayer. "And they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship and to the breaking of bread and the prayers." Acts 4:31 says this, "And when they had prayed," did you hear that? "The place in which they were gathered together was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and continued to speak the word of God with boldness." Wouldn't it be amazing to be so in prayer, all of us praying and praying and calling out to God, petitioning Him and thanking Him and loving Him, that this place just started shaking? Take it to God in prayer. Scripture is clear. Philippians 4:6, one everybody knows. "Don't be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God." Talk to God. Pray about everything. You got headaches that plague you? Talk to God about it. Your feet hurt at the end of the day? Talk to God about it. Your boss driving you crazy? Talk to God about it. You're concerned about the economy? What's going to happen? Oh, gas is going to go up. But who's going to be the president? What's going on? Blah, blah, blah. Talk to God about it. I wanted to almost, James today was be slow to speak, be quick to listen, and don't get angry kind of thing. And I was going to talk about, like, yeah, don't get online and start throwing out your stuff online. Oh, I'm going to tell that person off on Facebook, you know. It's like, don't do that. Pray about it. Pray about it. What is God saying to you? You got tension in your family. You're worried. Talk to God about it. Whatever matters to you, talk to God about it. 1 Peter says this, "Casting all your anxieties on Him," because why? He cares for you. What is a sweet hour of prayer? Take it to the Lord in prayer. Talk to God continually. And the third thought on prayer is to pray without ceasing. 1 Thessalonians says this, "Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you." God may speak to you through a whisper. He may speak to you when you're in prayer, when you open up your word, you search for truth. He may speak to you through other people. He may speak to you in your circumstances. I've never heard Him speak to me audibly, but I know that he speaks. He may speak through the voice of his Spirit, and if you listen, you will hear his voice. James put it this way, count it all joy when you meet trials of various kinds, for you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness, and let steadfastness have its full effect, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. Steadfastness, continuing, keep it moving, keep it going, keep praying, be steadfast in your prayers. And Jesus said this in John, my sheep, which is us, hear my voice. And I know them and they follow me. The next thing is they had a great witness. They lived for others. You may think that you don't have anything to give in comparison to Christ, but you can help someone else excel in their walk. Think less of yourself. Invest more in heaven than we are in retirement. Jesus said, lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven. Concern yourselves with that. So their fellowship is the last one. Make church services a priority, not neglecting to meet together as the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. Count it all joy. Their community was something that drew people in. And it says, with great power, they were giving their testimony to the resurrection. All of those things, that's what the church is supposed to be. And that's what Three Point is called to be. And we are all ambassadors for Jesus. It's amazing to me that the God that created everything, that knows us, that loves us so much, actually entrusts us to tell others about the good news. It's like, God, maybe you better take it back on, because, you know, on Sunday, we may be all yours, but then come Monday, we kind of slip back into our worldly stuff. And yet he's still saying, you are my witnesses. You be my witnesses. You go into the world. You go and speak truth. You go and make a difference. They saturated, think about this, they saturated Jerusalem with this message, and then it went to Judea, and then to Samaria, and then it says to the far parts of the world. In other words, it started in the city, then it went to the county, then it went to the state, then it went to the nation, then it went all over. And it's amazing, because God is still on the throne and God still works. God is building something lasting in each of us, and he's building something for all eternity. It takes years to build that kind of strength. So through all of life, God is changing us. He's knocking off the rough edges. He's transforming us and making us different. And that is a message that we should be proclaiming. And it's worth proclaiming to all of the world. Most gracious Heavenly Father, I thank you for our church. I thank you for the people. I thank you that we gather together faithfully, and that we want to hear from you. So, Father, I pray that you would do a work in our hearts to say, what should I be doing to further the kingdom here? Not just at Three Point, but in our homes and in our lives. Father, I pray that Three Point would become the church that you set us apart to be, a church that would be a light in this community, a beacon on the hill, salt to this earth. Father, I pray that you would use us and give us great opportunities. Father, I pray that you would just bring in so many people that we would just have to start bringing in chairs from everywhere. Father, I pray that you would bring in leaders that are filled with your word. And Father, I pray that for all of us, that you will continue to use us mightily as we proclaim the truth of the gospel. And Father, we pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.